The debate is over. German and American tanks are headed to Ukraine.
And today I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion.
Plus, a birthday present for Volodymyr Zelensky.
A funny fact that today is the birthday of Ukrainian president, Mr. Zelensky, so Ukrainians also consider this as a birthday present for president and for Ukraine.
And later in the program, a look at corruption in the Ukrainian government. Today is Wednesday, January 25th. From the Voice of America in Washington, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish. A breakthrough in the conversation surrounding giving tanks to Ukraine. Charles de Ledesma has the story.
After weeks of hesitation, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz announces his government would provide Ukraine with Leopard 2 battle tanks and approve requests by other countries to do the same. The long-awaited decision comes after US officials said on Tuesday a preliminary agreement had been struck for the US to send M1 Abrams tanks to help Ukraine's troops push back Russian forces that remain entrenched in the country's east. Scholz had insisted that any decision to provide Ukraine with powerful Leopard 2 tanks would need to be taken in conjunction with Germany's allies, chiefly the US, by getting Washington to commit to some of its own tanks. Berlin hopes to share the risk of any backlash from Russia. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Speaking at the White House midday Wednesday, President Joe Biden praised NATO allies as he made the much-anticipated announcement that the U.S. will be supplying M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
The United States has committed hundreds of armored fighting vehicles to date, including more than 500 as part of the assistance package we announced last Friday. And today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion. Secretary Austin has recommended this step because it will enhance the Ukraine's capacity to defend its territory and achieve its strategic objectives. The Abrams tanks are the most capable tanks in the world. They're also extremely complex to operate and maintain. So we're also giving Ukraine the parts and equipment necessary to effectively sustain these tanks on the battlefield. And we'll begin to train the Ukrainian troops on these issues of sustainment, logistics, and maintenance as soon as possible. Delivering these tanks to the field is going to take time. Time that we'll use to make sure the Ukrainians are fully prepared to integrate the Abrams tanks into their defenses. We're also closely coordinated this announcement with our allies. The American contribution will be joined by an additional announcement, including that will be readily available and more easily integrated for use in the battlefield in the coming weeks and months from other countries. I'm grateful to Chancellor Scholz for providing German Leopard 2 tanks and will lead an effort to organize a European contribution of two tank battalions for Ukraine. I want to thank the Chancellor for his leadership and his steadfast commitment to our collective efforts to support Ukraine. Germany has really stepped up.
That's President Joe Biden at the White House on Wednesday. Visit us at voanews.com for more late-breaking news. For its part, the Kremlin said Wednesday that any Abrams battle tanks supplied to Ukraine by the United States would burn, dismissing the expected delivery as an expensive folly. Speaking at a daily briefing with reporters, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the Abrams tanks would be a waste of money.
Both from Germany and the United States, there have recently been a lot of mutually exclusive statements, media reports, leaks, and so on. It is understandable that not everything is going smoothly there in the alliance and with the availability of the tanks. I am certain that many experts understand the absurdity of this idea. The plan is pretty disastrous in terms of technology.
Просто по технологическим технологическим аспектам это такой план достаточно провальный. А главное это явное совершенно переоценка.
But above all, it overestimates the potential it will add for the Ukrainian armed forces. It's another delusion, and quite a serious one. Let me repeat. These tanks burn, just like all the others. Just they cost a great deal, and all this will and does fall on the shoulders of European taxpayers in the first place. The Americans, as always, will be left with at least their own money, and most likely with good profits.
Kyiv has for months asked for Western tanks that it says it desperately needs to give its forces the firepower and mobility to break through Russian defensive lines and recapture occupied territory. For the latest on who's giving what to whom and when, we turn to VOA's national security correspondent, Jeff Selden.
Well, after weeks of talks at high levels between U.S., German officials, other key allies that are supporting Ukraine, including a high-level meeting of the Ukraine Contact Group in Germany just last week, now both Germany and the U.S. have announced that they are going to be providing tanks to Ukraine. The Germans are going to be providing about 14 of their Leopard 2 tanks, some of the most coveted tanks in the Western world, to Kyiv. Berlin is saying will be the first step in establishing two battalions of tanks for Ukraine. Other allies, including Poland and others that have the German-made Leopard 2 tanks, will also be giving some of their tanks to Ukraine. And in addition to that, the development that seems to have paved the way for Germany to be able to make this decision, to feel comfortable making this decision, the U.S. has decided now to send Ukraine 31 of its M1 Abrams tanks. These are considered by many to be some of the best tanks in the world. They are very complicated. They use a lot of fuel, and the U.S. will be providing them over time. So Ukraine now, after asking for tanks, is going to get two infusions of this armored capability. First from the Germans and other allies that have the German-made tanks, and then down the road, it could be months, they will get the M1 Abrams tanks from the United States.
So you said the Germans are giving 14, the Americans are giving 31. Ukraine is asking for hundreds. Will this be enough?
Ukraine is always asking for more, and its supporters in the West, the U.S. and others, continually looking at the needs, deciding what Ukraine can use now, what Ukraine may be able to use in the midterm or in the long term, and then trying to meet those needs. U.S. Officials are saying that they're expecting, as winter comes to an end, as the weather starts to move up, Russia is going to go on the offensive. It is going to send troops in, especially in open areas where there's open fields of the Donbas. So armored capability is going to be at a premium. The last U.S. assistance package to Ukraine announced last week, worth about $2.5 billion, included lots of armor, Bradley fighting vehicles, and other anti-armor capabilities that will help Ukraine. The tanks also will help Ukraine. And, of course, the Ukrainians are familiar already with Russian and Soviet-made tanks, and the U.S., as VOA has reported, has not given up on finding some of that type of equipment that can be given to Ukraine and put on the field right now. The Leopards will require some training, and the Ukrainians will be able to use it. The M1 Abrams tanks, for as capable as they are, that's going to be a longer-term investment. It's going to take months to procure the tanks and get them to Ukraine, although the training, according to the U.S., will start very shortly. But that's going to be a longer-term investment in Ukrainian capabilities. And in the meantime, the allies led by the U.S. continue to find ways to get Ukraine more ammo, more ammunition, more air defense, as they expect Russia to continue to press its case or press its war in Ukraine with no signs that Russia will back down.
Now, Jeff, earlier you alluded to the fact that this conversation, this debate has been going on for several days now to give Ukraine tanks or not. And it was Germany who was hesitant to make that move. And the Americans were able to push them over the edge by agreeing to give Ukraine the Abrams tanks. What was Germany's hesitation? Why were they worried?
Germany, there are historical reasons, there are some political reasons that Germany may have been worried. It appears like, based on what we're seeing from this deal, this agreement between the U.S. and Germany is that Germany perhaps felt like it needed some cover, some political cover, to be able to go ahead and make this deal. It's been under pressure. Its government, its Prime Minister Olaf Scholz, has been under pressure for weeks now to provide some of this ability, or at least allow other countries that have the German tanks to provide that capability to Ukraine. And it seems like over the course of the last few weeks, the discussions between the U.S., Germany, other allies, and also, according to U.S. officials, look at how the war is playing out. We're 11 months now into this war where Russia invaded Ukraine, and the West has been coming together to help Ukraine push back against Russia. And the U.S. officials say as the war itself has evolved, so has the understanding of what type of capabilities need to be given to the Ukrainians. And so they say, look, there are capabilities at first, like the HIMARS, these rocket launchers that Ukraine has been using very effectively to push back against Russia and hit targets, command centers, supply nodes behind the front lines. Initially, the U.S. didn't give that. Initially, the U.S. didn't agree to give Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine. But as the war has shifted, as the Ukrainians have shown they're capable and able to learn and incorporate these weapon systems into their arsenal, the U.S. and other countries have slowly but surely become more willing to give them more advanced weaponry. And another thing to consider here, too, is that as the war has gone on, the West has seen Russia and Vladimir Putin increasingly willing not just to target military targets in Ukraine, but to go after civilian targets, civilian infrastructure. And some of that has also changed the West's thinking on the need and the type of weaponry to provide Ukraine.
Now, Jeff, earlier today, you were on a reporter's phone call with the National Security Council. What did you learn?
It was about some of the details of what the U.S. is going to be doing and some of the thinking behind the U.S. change in its thinking regarding especially the M1 Abrams tanks. As recently as last week, top-level U.S. officials were saying, look, the M1 Abrams, while perhaps the most capable tank in the world, is a very complicated system. It requires a lot of fuel. It has considerable maintenance needs, and there needs to be training and the ability to answer supply chain questions. Could Ukraine incorporate these? Could it train on them and then keep them going during a war? And what the U.S. officials are saying is that they've concluded that this is a capability that Ukraine needs. It's not an immediate capability that they're going to get, but it's something that Ukraine will benefit from and could use and is able to incorporate over the long term. They say they've been able to work out the details so that the training needs can be met, so that the supply chain needs, the fuel supplies, the maintenance needs can be met. And they think that by doing this slowly over a matter of months, Ukraine will be able to absorb the M1 Abrams tanks into their battalions and put them on the field and use them to push back against the Russians. What the officials also said is they gave some details about how many tanks. There are going to be 31 of these M1 Abrams tanks that will be going to Ukraine. They're also going to be about, going back through my notes, about eight, what they call M88. These are recovery vehicles that help with the maintenance of the M1's Abrams tanks. And if you ask about the number, why 31? 31 tanks is what the Ukrainians put in one of their tank battalions. So essentially what Ukraine will have in a matter of months is a full tank battalion of the U.S. M1 Abrams tanks.
Jeff Seldon is VOA's national security correspondent. Jeff, thanks so much for your analysis today.
Anytime.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Karish. Several high-level government officials in Ukraine have resigned recently amid corruption investigations. What does this mean for the Zelensky administration? What does it mean for Ukraine's bid to join the EU? And what might it mean for Ukraine's military? To find out, I spoke with Taras Kuzio. He's a professor of political science at the University of Kyiv Mohyla Academy. So we know that a few high-ranking Ukrainian government officials have resigned amid corruption investigations. Has corruption been a problem in the Ukrainian government?
Well, it has. I think at times it was exaggerated by the West, and it was seen as from a one-sided perspective. But certainly, President Zelensky came to power in April 2019 with the with one of his goals to be to try to clean out corruption in Ukraine, and in particular to deal with high-ranking oligarchs. And this, I think, is an example of him acting swiftly to deal with something like this.
So he was also alluding to the fact that some of this corruption, some of this house cleaning was done in order to join the EU, that these were requirements by the EU to sort of clean house and get things up to modern standards.
Well, this is where I'm a bit cynical about these issues, because the problem with looking at corruption in places like, even in looking at corruption in Russia, never mind Ukraine, is that Western governments and Western NGOs tend to look at this from a one-sided perspective. There are always two sides to corruption. The place where the money is stolen or somehow gotten hold of, whether that's Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Russia. And then there's a second aspect to this, is where the money goes. And so when Western governments and NGOs keep pointing their fingers at countries in the East, that's fair enough. But then they ignore the fact that all of that money goes to Western countries.
How so?
So Western governments have been accepting this dirty money. By the way, United States of America is probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest countries which has taken in dirty money into real estate. It's true that it's been an uphill battle to deal with this in particularly post-Soviet countries, and many Ukrainians were disappointed at both the Orange Revolution and the Euromaidan Revolution for not completely cleaning it out. I think Zelensky is probably the first president that's dealing with that, but Western governments need to also get their houses in order as well on this question.
Well, I think that's a fair point, but probably for a different discussion. It's Ukraine that's...
It is a different discussion.
It's Ukraine that's at war right now, and by clearing house of the alleged corruption, is Ukraine sending a signal to Western allies that it will be responsible with the aid, responsible with the money that is given?
Yes.
And is that why this is happening?
Well, it is. I don't think it's so much to do with EU membership, because that's such a long-term and faraway perspective. Ukraine's been fulfilling reforms to integrate into the EU since 2014, when it signed an association agreement with the EU, which led to a deep and comprehensive free trade agreement and a visa-free regime. But those association agreements that Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine signed only allowed for integration without membership. What's changed now is that Ukraine and Moldova, but not Georgia, have received this status that they are candidate members. Now, you know, this could mean it's symbolic, but it certainly won't happen overnight, and it certainly won't happen as long as there's a war taking place in Ukraine. So I think that this quick reaction on the part of Zelensky to clean up house, as it were, is both a product of him, his own personality, And as you rightly say, it's to do with the fact that Ukraine today, in the midst of this brutal war, is reliant on two things from the West, on military aid and on financial economic aid. I mean, the Ukrainian government needs upwards of about $5 billion each month. So both of those necessitate that Ukrainian leaders act very quickly on any of these types of issues, such as corruption. And that Zelensky has done. Zelensky is, I think, believed in that sense more than earlier presidents in Ukraine. He's believed by Western governments, because nobody has ever found any skeletons, any corrupt skeletons in his closet. Ukrainian journalists are quite good at that. They're quite good at finding these things. And there's never been any story that I can remember which has pointed to Zelensky making money out of being the president of Ukraine. So from that point of view, I think he still has a high reputation, and that's, I think, seen both inside Ukraine with his high popularity rating and in the West as well.
Taras Kuzio is professor of political science at the University of Kyiv Mohyla Academy. Professor, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
For Kyiv's reaction to the news that Germany and the U.S. will send tanks, I turn to Anna Chernikova, our reporter in Kyiv.
So yesterday late in the evening, this information started to appear. There was quite a big assurance, and today we have official announcements. It's definitely, I think that to describe reaction in Ukraine is like finally. Of course, society is very, happy about this decision. It was very long awaited, and not only by the military, but also by the society in general, because everyone understands that tanks are needed for further advances of the Ukrainian forces and further counteroffensive operations, which reportedly are planned for sometime at the end of spring, beginning of summer. This was discussed a lot within the society, a lot within the military officials and Ukrainian top officials. And of course, today is also, everyone is waiting for the speech by President Biden, which is upcoming a little bit later on. A funny fact that today is the birthday of Ukrainian president, Mr. Zelensky. So Ukrainians consider this as a birthday present for president and for Ukraine.
So a nice sense of relief over the city today.
I cannot call it relief. Honestly, it's just, a new wave of additional hope that this preparations and counteroffensive will be successful. But at the same time, everyone were discussing that in order to get this successfully, certain equipment is needed. So it's not really a relief, but it's definitely a new wave of hope that this will be a success for Ukraine.
Well, speaking of the front line and the battles, is there an update for us on how the fighting is going?
Today Ukrainian military officials, general staff particularly, announced that Ukrainian forces are moving away from Soledar finally. So they're moving away from Soledar and in order to save the life of Ukrainian military force and in order to get better positions in order to continue the actions which are happening there. Today, we also Ukraine also experienced some shelling, particularly in the east and in the south. The city of Kherson and Kherson region as well is under the shelling. And in general, today, Ukraine woke up in the morning with a massive air raid alarm across the country. It lasted for more than an hour, and then it was another massive one in the afternoon. And just now, as we are talking, the city of Kyiv, central part of the country, and also some north and south areas experienced the third air raid alarm. For the moment, no shellings were reported or any damages reported due to this alarms. Apparently, according to what we hear from Ukrainian military, the aircrafts are in the air from the territory of Belarus.
All right. I think we'll leave it there for today. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. Anna, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage on Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day. Visit us online at voanews.com and on social media, just follow VOA News. On behalf of the entire Flashpoint Ukraine team, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.